This is the beginning of book D, capital D, 1960, University of Wisconsin. So it goes from the end of 1960 to the beginning of 1961, starting on Sunday, November 20th. Purifying haptoglobin, still with a column that has it was 200 milliliters of 1-1, 2-1 and 2-2 were onto DA cellulose at pH 4 as usual. Then 15 milliliters of 204 and 207 split in a mercaptoethanol acetone solution. The 2-2 was quite yellow on the DAE, etc. And one sample was heated at 70 degrees. All samples were diluted with acetic acid and sodium hydroxide. And here is a beginning comment of what's happening. The gel is an 8-molar urea formic acid and starts with C151 pool, book C151 pool, and 1-1 and 2-2 samples. And with the comment that what was believed to be HV2 is strong in 1-1, and therefore repeat with pure haptoglobins. The fingerprints confirmed that the material that we got out was not haptoglobin. More column splitting tests on the following day, Monday 21st. Very little split product is visible. Messy. Beginning to have some decent images on page 7, November 23rd, tests of mercaptoethanol versus sodium sulfide versus no splitting. This is with an acetone column with a rather messy looking gel showing that splitting is incomplete in sodium sulfide and even complete in mercaptoethanol, so leave overnight. And other pH tests of the gels, the formic acid gels, no improvement over 0.05, 0.01 formic acid, 8 molar urea. Some haptoglobin samples tested November 15th. And overnight splitting, now we're back to the overnight splitting result. On Friday, November 26th, quite complicated result, which from current knowledge looks very unpromising, but at the time, is not sure. The results show that HP in quotation mark is not reduced, only the impurities and etc. So it was not a very clear result. Azide coupling tested on November 25th. More extensive tests of the azide November 26th. difficult to interpret. Need to use better haptoglobin to test things. Page 19, first class 2-2 is required for this experiment, or better, use purified HP. Hemoglobin interchange still a possibility, testing on Sunday 27. No interchange is the result on Monday, November 28, page 23. Trying to get hemoglobin 1-1, haptoglobin 1-1 and haptoglobin 2-2 to interchange and give haptoglobin 2-1, but it doesn't happen. Testing of different materials, formamide, non-aqueous hemoglobin reaction, etc. Let's go back. I'll go back to after page 23, which was showing no interchange, and then going to page 25, Monday, November 28, began to think about non-aqueous hemoglobin reactions with the haptoglobin to see if whether this would affect the reaction. So the conclusion being this formamide hemoglobin does not bind haptoglobin. So if the formamide had been treated with, if the hemoglobin had been treated with formamide, it would no longer bind to haptoglobin. Also trying again, acid chloride reaction with hemoglobin, SOCl2, doubtful value. Continuing on November 30th. Trying CMC, carboxymethyl cellulose, pH 7. No particular joy. And formamide retest again on page 41, December 4th. Begin to think about testing tannic acid, treated diethyl, amino acyl cellulose, or TEAC, starch, etc. So paranitrobenzyl cellulose being considered on page 45, December 5th. Mm-hmm. the cellulose trinitrate, the nitrocellulose made with sulfuric acid and nitric acid and water and cellulose, so making gun cotton. Some comments on page 51 of doubtful value. FCOCl column, light cellulose nitrate column, heavy cellulose nitrate column, Toronto benzyl nitrocellulose column, etc. No indication that it was of any value. Resourcing all cellulose. Page 59. Trying very many variants. Saturday, December 10th, decided to try to obtain a, quote, heavy cellulose trinitrate again and then immobilize the hemoglobin chemically. Attempted the nitration again. The reaction got out of hand as the sulcur flux would not wet. Tried again with water that had been in water, sulcur pump. And they said the temperatures are too high. Quite dangerous material. Testing them December 12th. Page 71, for example, may have to work in the cold. The doubly coated hemoglobin appears to go brown quite rapidly. Made up small new lot and kept at room temperature and in ice. Hold up these experiments until I understand this better. Still trying cellulose tetranitrate or trinitrate with an ammonium salt. column was completely devoid of brown at the end of the experiment, clear pink, but no haptoglobin removal. Abandoned this approach. Page 77. Testing paranitro benzyl cellulose, December 15th. very heavy haptoglobin types on December 20th, page 95, very clear. Special sample from Elo Giblet of the Johnson modified and the 2-2 and 2-1. That Elo Giblet sample was, of course, later on proved to be very interesting. December 21st, trying to resynthesize 2-2. Gordon Dixon and George Connell report that bisulfite HSO3, that sulfite HSO3 has no effect on haptoglobin, but sulfite plus chloromercuric ClHgCOO minus give some interesting reactions. The reactions being the one that Rupert Cecil studied many years ago, that I knew about when I was a graduate student. That's R prime plus HSO3 goes to RSH plus SO3 minus SR prime, and perchloromercury benzoate then can combine with the SH material to give RSHG benzene ring carboxylate. Tested some of these ideas. Still working on that idea on December 22nd, page 103, testing with sodium sulfite. And sodium sulfide. Left them together with the result that there's still no reaction left for several days of haptoglobin 1-1, 2-2, and a mixture of 1-1 and 2-2 with sodium sulfide and sodium sulfite, but no images. Says Friday, December 23rd, sulfite, perchloromercury benzoate in alkaline borate buffer. And so on. Considering the reaction of amino ethyl thiol. Mercapto ethylamine. As decided to try RSSR prime with S parenthesis H ETNH3 plus at pH 8.5 for splitting and resynthesis. Beginning to realize that you might get a reversible depolymerization and resynthesize via a disulfide interchange, and this later proved to be very possible and quite revealing, and I had a pretty paper that is maybe being presaged in these pages. Page 113, sodium sulfide treated 1-1 and 2-2 mixture and sodium sulfite treated mixture, and minimum treatment of 2:1 with mercaptan ethylamine. It appears to be not very much happening. And the following pages show much the same sort of thing. And with the comment on page 114, this is sodium sulfide and sodium sulfite with copper. Still no cleavage. Repeat with mercaptoethanol, as neither mercaptoethylamine or SH- are effective. More column splitting tests on page 119 with the comment, no differences. Abandon column splitting for the present. A wise decision. December 30th, Friday, reductant tests. Still testing different reductants. This is testing mercaptoethanol at alkaline pH in borate buffer at different concentrations, 0.5, 1 and 1.5 molar. So those are the solutions that were made up, not tested. They were tested at 0.02 molar, as usual. So two gels were run. One was a borate a buffer gel, and the other was an 8 molar formic acid gel. The borate buffer gel shows very little effect of a control SH minus mercaptoethylamine, mercaptoethanol, mercaptoethylamine, and mercaptobenzoic, mercaptoacetate. But the I'll try that again. I'll just stop for a minute. On Friday, December 30th, pages 120 and 121, there are two experiments going on, reductant tests. One is the concentration of urea, 0.5 molar, 1 molar, 1.5 molar urea with a 1/100th molar mercaptoethanol in alkaline pH. With the comment that some reaction in the zero increasing to about 20% in 1.5 molar urea. The product looks clean and like the PCMB sulfite product migrates a little slower. So this was lower urea than usual. And then the other test was a test of without any urea. It was a test of mercaptoethanol and mercaptoacetic acid, sodium sulfide and mercaptoethylamine, etc. And it shows a very little effect, although that I can see, although the comment is that mercaptoethanol reaction is complete and is clean. Mercaptoacetic to completion but not quite clean, etc. I can't make that conclusion anymore looking at the gels, but that's the conclusion that I wrote down. Page 123 has several gels looking at these various products. Varying the concentration of urea on January the 2nd, Monday. Not obvious what these experts were trying to do. Up to ethanol concentration tests on Tuesday, January the 3rd, varying the concentration of mercaptan ethanol from 0.05 molar up to 0.4 molar. In this case, there is a very clear reduction of the, that is to say, depolymerization is really quite clear. That in 0.4 molar urea with mercaptan, 0.4 molar mercaptan ethanol in 0.1 molar borate without any urea present, that the polymers are completely it's a complete depolymerization occurs. So there is a clear indication that one can get a stable product that appears monomeric just by reduction with mercaptan ethanol and no urea. So that there are a two-stage process. For example, the comment on page 129 is the results show that 0.2 molar mercaptan ethanol would be about ideal for maximum cleavage and the minimum wreckage, and of the wreckage being a creation of the irreversible destruction of the haptoglobin polymers. This is really quite well shown on page 131 with a very promising result that of haptoglobin being partly depolymerized. It's not completely depolymerized, but the red crayon shows that there is an increase in the faster migrating material, and the polymeric material has disappeared. So I am understanding that the haptoglobin can be dissociated into a monomeric form that is still a native protein. And with a comment on page 133, note that low Merck haptoethanol concentration convert haptoglobin 2-1 to haptoglobin 2-1 modified. Well, this is really a misinterpretation, but it certainly looked that way. Beginning to think that the reaction might be reversible, dissociation, depolymerization, page 135, the results from the D133 experiment showed that 2-2 is especially prone to query repolymerization, actually detected as smearing. So check with hemoglobin and repeat. This is an attempt on Thursday, January 5th, to get that result. And then on page 137, we come to a very beautiful pair of gels that may be even the ones that were used for publication. Because Thursday, January 7th, all types is splitting, and they were dissolved in alkaline urea, mercaptoethanol was added, and then iodine-free iodoacetic acid was added, and then the gel was run with 8 molar urea formic acid, and the January 3rd gel, and the result is really very beautiful. I believe that is the gel that was finally used in the publication, but I will check that.